Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His word. The topic of this devotional is God's presence. Our scripture is Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 8, 23 through 25, and 28, and chapter 39, verses 1 through 5, and 19 through 23.
Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him. And they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper.
Life is full of ups and downs. The second we feel like everything is in control, we get hit with an unexpected circumstance. Or the moment everything feels like it's falling apart, we suddenly receive an opportunity. In the passage we just read, we see that Joseph has a lot of ups and downs in his life. However, we also see that God's presence anchors him through it all. Let's trace the events of his story, noting the constancy and the effects of God's presence. We're going to tackle a lot of narrative to capture the whole picture, so hang in there. Joseph is another son of Jacob and the younger brother of Judah, who we focused on in our last devotional. The story starts out with Joseph's dad, Jacob, showing clear favoritism to Joseph because he is the son of his favorite wife, Rachel. Jacob even gives Joseph a special coat. The other brothers are jealous of Joseph and grow to dislike him. To make matters worse, Joseph tells his brothers about a few dreams he had where his entire family bowed down to him as he reigned over them. The passage tells us that the brothers hated him even more for telling them these dreams. One day, full of jealousy and rage, Joseph's brothers take his special coat and throw him into a pit. When a group of traders passes by, Judah sells Joseph to them. Joseph is sold into slavery and taken to Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph is bought by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh. Genesis 39 verse 2 says that even in Egypt, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Verse 3 reiterates that the Lord was with Joseph and that God caused all that Joseph did to prosper. Continuing on in the story, we see that unfortunately, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. When Joseph turns her down, she falsely accuses him of taking the initiative with her and has him thrown in prison. But even in jail, we see that God is still with Joseph. Genesis 39 verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer." Verse 23 continues, "The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper." While in jail, Joseph gets a reputation for being an interpreter of dreams. When Pharaoh himself has a few distressing dreams that no one can interpret, he calls for Joseph. God enlightens Joseph to the meaning of Pharaoh's dreams, which foreshadow a coming famine. Recognizing that God is with Joseph, Pharaoh makes him second in command, only below himself, over all of Egypt, tasking him with preparing the land for famine. All in all, Joseph goes from favorite son to slave, from successful employee to falsely accused offender, and from an immigrant prisoner to second in command over all of Egypt. But through every high and low, we see that Joseph has God's presence with him. And God's presence enables him to flourish in any circumstance. To clarify, God's presence does not guarantee easy circumstances. Being sold into slavery, falsely convicted, and thrown into prison are less than ideal circumstances. Again, God's presence enables Joseph to flourish in any circumstance. As a hated younger brother, Joseph is protected by God's presence and kept safe in God's sovereign plan. As a slave, Joseph is enabled by God's presence to have success and to be a blessing to those around him. As a prisoner, Joseph is equipped by God's presence to find good repute with others and to serve as an asset to Pharaoh. And as a ruler, Joseph is empowered by God's presence to lead with wisdom and humility. Believers today have the same constant presence of God in their lives. And like Joseph, God's presence also enables us to flourish in any circumstance. Paul demonstrates this in his own life when he says in Philippians 4, 12 through 13, "I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Essentially, Paul is saying he has the power to endure all circumstances because he keeps his focus on his relationship with Christ. Likewise, we can look to God's presence with us in any and every circumstance. When life does not go as planned, we can focus on God's presence and receive the assurance that He is in control. When we struggle with adverse circumstances at work, we can focus on God's presence and be empowered to work to please Him. When we are unfairly treated, we can focus on God's presence and be equipped with the power to forgive and to seek the good of others. And when we receive earthly blessing or power in life, we can focus on God's presence and stay grounded in true spiritual contentment and humility. It's easy to see why it's important to focus on God's presence in the negative examples given above. When I'm faced with a tough, unplanned event or a difficult circumstance vocationally or relationally, I love the reminder that God is with me and can enable me to flourish in any circumstance. But I think sometimes we're okay forgetting about God's presence in circumstances like the positive last example. When things are going well, we're not as inclined to stay grounded in God. That is why Paul equally emphasizes that he has learned how to flourish in prosperity and abundance. We need God's presence, even when things are going well. Not only are we equipped by Him to steward our blessings well, we are also building and deepening the relationship that will sustain us when life takes a downward turn. Because of this relationship and life's storm of fluctuating circumstances, we can lift our eyes above the waves and be anchored in peace by God's unwavering presence with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that Your presence is always with Your children. No matter the circumstance, we can look to You to be able to face anything. In adverse circumstances, help me to turn to You to find peace and stability. And in prosperous circumstances, help me to turn to You to find true contentment. Teach me to bring all my activities, emotions, and thoughts into the sphere of Christ's presence. Amen. As you listen to the worship song, think back on your life. You could go back a few weeks, months, or years and reflect on all the change that has occurred. How did you experience God's presence in these circumstances? Thank God for His constant, loving presence with you.
I cling to You.